Okay, we are up to Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're up to Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The last story about Ivo. A couple stories about Ivo. 1, 2, 3, about 8 lines up from the bottom. Amar Ivo, first words on the line. Amar Ivo. Amar Ivo Mishum Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. Al Yahalech Adam Barvi Shabbasos Yom Ishtem Yigilim Parsos. Person should not walk on Erev Shabbos, go on Erev Shabbos, travel on Erev Shabbos, more than 3 parsos. We had the major discussion of this in Masechta Shabbos, about how much he's supposed to travel on Friday, as opposed to travel on Friday. Distances, for sure, that you're going to have a question, whether you're going to make it there for Shabbos or not. We spoke about even leaving earlier than Erev Shabbos, maybe even leaving on Wednesday or Thursday, or has certain limitations. Poskim said that maybe it's different Bizman HaZeh, because we have cars, and there's different methods of travel. But the Gemara says here that a person shouldn't go more than 3 parsos. Amar Rav Kahana lo amar na labeise. Rav Kahana said, no, this is only if you're going to your house, you shouldn't leave so much of a distance to get to your house on Erev Shabbos. Why? Rashi says, because you're going to get to your house, they're not going to know you're coming, right? No telephones, and they're not going to have food prepared for you, and you're going to get angry at them. That's the chashash here. If there's a chashash, you have to take precautions that you don't make it into, you don't create a situation of kaas. But who kaas alayah? That's a Musar Haskalah. We have to try to think ahead about preventing kaas situations. It says, lo shadu el abese. That's only to your own house you can't go. Avolush pise. But to go to a different house, to a host's house, then you bring your food with you, so there's not going to be any kaas situation, and therefore there's no problem on Erev Shabbos. The Yigadamri, and others say no, Amar Rav Kahana, a different version of Rav Kahana. Lo nitzrucha ela afilu lebeise. Rav Kahana's chiddush is even to your house you shouldn't go, meaning to others' houses, to other people's houses, for sure you shouldn't go. Why? Rashi says to other people's houses, you for sure might not have food for yourself, but for your own house, whatever you find, it's yours. So you might say that you could go there, but still you should not go there. Sure, you should not go there because it might not be enough food for you. That's what Rashi seems to say. Rabbi Chananel seems to have a different pshat. Rabbi Chananel, the second to last line of Rabbi Chananel says, "Mipnei shehu tzarech la'asos klum davar la'oneg Shabbos." Rabbi Chananel says, "No, you know what the reason is? Because you can't get home without doing anything for Shabbos. You have to make sure you get home in time in order to take part in preparing for Shabbos, doing something for Shabbos." He uses the term oneg Shabbos. That might be lav dafka. We mentioned the Vilna Gaon Shita in Hilchos Yontif, where the Vilna Gaon says the difference between kavod Shabbos and oneg Shabbos is everything you do before Shabbos is kavod Shabbos. Setting the table, taking a shower, going shopping, that's all kavod Shabbos. Anything you do on Shabbos is oneg Shabbos. Eating and drinking and enjoying oneself on Shabbos is oneg Shabbos. Poskim, Rishonim, and Achronim, you know, use the words interchangeably. So does that mean they argue with the Gra, or they're just having a more flexible usage in their discussion? It's not 100% clear. But either way, the Rabbi Yochanan here says the reason they're not supposed to come home late on Friday is to do something with Kavod Shabbos. And this is Beit, as I quoted, but it's L'chaora based on the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin in the beginning of the second parak says, brings the concept of mitzvah bo yosemi b'shlucho. There's a mitzvah to do mitzvahs yourself more than to do it with the shliach. And the Gemara there quotes, there's only 2 cases in Shas where the Gemara discusses mitzvah bo yosemi b'shlucho. Number 1 is Kiddushin, getting married, and number 2 is preparing for Shabbos. Those are the only 2 cases in Shas. Later Achronim, of course, extended to all mitzvahs, or many mitzvahs, but the Gemara Kiddush Daf Emalef says, quotes that Rava Malach Shibuter of Safra Machrech Resha, they themselves did something begufo in order to demonstrate their love for Shabbos, and this is something that the Rabbi Chanan says, that's the message of our Gemara, that we should make sure that we're home in time in order to do something with the Kavod Shabbos. If somebody knows they're going to get home extremely late on Friday, you're allowed to do it on a Thursday night. You're allowed to do something with the Kavod Shabbos on a Thursday night. If you could have a crazy day on Friday at work, that do something Thursday night, set up the candles on Thursday night. Whatever one can do, Thursday night is also a kiyum of Kavod Shabbos. Amar Rav Kahana, v'didi havi uvda, v'afil kiz d'har sin alash v'chir. Rav Kahana says, it happened to me. I went on Friday, I came home very late, they didn't even have a little bit of fish for me. So again, according to Rashi, that would mean that, you see, there wasn't any food for me to eat. Rabbi Chanana would say, there was nothing for me to prepare. Poskim discussed, but Rav Kahana went against the words of the Chachamim, what he went and he violated. Okay, the Chronim discussed. Okay, next. Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad. The Mishnah had said that the mitzvah of Lulav is that everybody brought their Lulavim to Shul to Harabayis in the Mishnah, and the Chazarim took them and they put them on top of the Itztava, on top of these big benches. And the next day, you used to tell people that, you know, make a tznai that whatever lulav you get, you know, should be yours. So the Gemara asks, Tani Tanna Kamei d'Rav Nachman Sojer al Gagoi Itztava. So somebody who was saying the Brice is over said in front of Rav Nachman, formulated the Mishnah as they used to be besadur them on the roof of the Itztava. Let's say they used to have these benches with a roof. Let's say you have a type of covering over your bench, and they used to put them on top so everybody could see them. So says Rav Nachman, when he heard this, why did they put them on top of the roof? Do they want to dry them out? Why do you have to put them on top? You wouldn't have to be, in order to see them, you wouldn't have to put them on top. So Elaima al Gava Itztava. What he really meant was on the bench itself. Al Gava Itztava. Because they had many benches in Harabais. Amar Chava, Amar Yehuda, Harabais stuff, Kafol Haya, stuff, Lifnim Mi stuff. They used to have a double row of benches on the perimeter of Harabais for people to sit down. There were no other places to sit in Harabais, but on the outside there was a double row of benches in order for people to sit. Next Mishnah. Okay, now we have the Hoshana Rabbah Mishnah. So we're only a couple days off, amazingly. Today we have the Isru Chag Gemara, as we'll see. So really, we're only one day off by Isru Chag, a couple days off by Hoshana Rabbah. Still, thinking of the overall year scheme of things, we're pretty close. Okay, Mitzvah Arava Ketzad. What is the mitzvah? How did they perform the mitzvah of Arava that we've been talking about the past couple days, whether it's Netila or Zakifa? How did they perform it in the Beis HaMikdash? There was a place beneath Yerushalayim in a valley, Benikra Motza. It was called Motza. The Gemara will talk about where that name comes from. Yardin Lasham. And they went down there. They had a whole public ceremony in order to go against the Kusim, the Baitusim. As we said, they didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. So anytime there is a mitzvah that has to do with Torah Shebal Peh, many times Chazal performed an elaborate ceremony in public in order to show that they're wrong. So here too, they made a whole elaborate ceremony regarding the Nisach HaMayim and the Netilas HaRava, because that was learned out of Torah Shebal Peh. Yorat Lasham, they went down there, Umalakten Misham, Rabbi Yoshal HaRava, and they went down to get bunches of Aravos, Uba'in Vizokfin Osan, Bitsi Deha Mizbeach. And they went and they stood them up next to the side of the Mizbeach. This is the minhag that we quoted yesterday from Rabbi Chaim, that he used to stand up his Arava next to the bima, which is a symbol, which is the representation of the mizbeach, v'rashehen kefufin al gabei hamizbeach. The top of the arava was high enough that it bent over the top of the mizbeach. We'll see in the Gemara how high then did it have to be, assuming how high the mizbeach was. Taku v'hariu v'taku, and then they blew shofar. Again, this is the original source for the minhag of those shuls who blow shofar by Hoshanas. Again, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Many of Poskim do not quote it. But if anybody is in a shul that does it, this is the original source of it. Takari of Ataku. The Yerushalmi on this Mishnah says, we'll get to it, it's Zecher to Yericho. We'll get to why that is in a minute. What does Yericho have to do with this? Yericho, they went around 7 days, and seventh day they went around seven times, they blew shofar there. So that also is a connection. But talk about the Yerushalmi, Tosis just says Mishum Simcha, two word Tosis. Mishum Simcha, right, to show Simcha, they were happy with what was going on with the Mitzvah. Bechol Yom HaKivrei Mizbeach Pamachas, every day they walked around the Mizbeach, one time. What were they holding when they walked around the Mizbeach? What were they holding when they walked around the Mizbeach? The Kohanim, what were they holding? So Rashi and Tosfos earlier on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi and Tosfos said they were holding the Aravos. They had special Aravos, besides the one they, before they stood them up, they walked around with them. And then they stood them up. The Rambam said they were holding the Lulavim. The Rambam said they were holding the Lulavim, and afterward they stood up the Arava, and they were holding the Lulavim. This has the Halakha L'maaseh implications about what we're supposed to walk around with as a Zeichel HaMikdash. We mentioned the Ramah yesterday that says the best minhag is to walk around with the lulav and then put it down and then take the arava. So it says they walked around the Mizbeach one time. The Omrim, and what they used to say, Ana Hashem Oshi Ana, Ana Hashem Aslichana. That's what they used to say as they walked around the Mizbeach. As we say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ani Vaho Oshi Ana. The other says a different statement. They used to say Ani Vaho Oshi Ana. What does that mean? What's Ani Vaho? So Rashi says, two pshatim. Number one, Vaho is Gematria, Ani Vaho is Gematria on Hashem. So that's why you say Ani Vaho. Okay, that explains it a little bit, but why do you switch? Why don't you just say Ana Hashem? So then Rashi quotes Al Pi Kabbalah, that there are three psukim in the Parsha of Beshalach that describe the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, three psukim in a row, Rashi quotes, Vahi Beshalach Paro, Vayasa, Vayavo Beimachne Mitzrayim, those three psukim each have 72 letters in each of those psukim. And Rashi explains that if you take the first letter, if you go the first pasuk in order, the second pasuk backwards, the third pasuk in order, and you take three letters, one from each pasuk, you get 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each three letters, that's 72 names. You have the first one of the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the first pasuk. So that spells out Ani, right? That's Rashi explains it. Right, so the first one, is Vahu, the Vav Shavayasa, the Hey of Alayla, and Vav Shavayet, and that's where you get Vahu from. Ani Vahu Oshiyana, and that's where the Vahu comes from. And Vishem Shloshim Vesheva, and the 37th one, which is if you split it in half, it's the first one of the second half. So the 37th one is the Ani. It's the Aleph of Me'achareihem, the Nun of Anan. Rashi goes through exactly the letters. So Ani Vaho, Vaho is really the first one, and Ani is the second one, the 37th one. So that is where we get this phrase from, which is Gematria Ana Hashem. So far, now we explained it. But again, Tosfos says, why are we quoting these psukim? What are we quoting these psukim for? And what are we getting, trying to get this Kabbalistic message of an illusion of Shem Hashem? So in the middle of Tosfos, in Ani Vaho, where Tosfos quoted Rashi, and then he quotes, V'adayin sarach tam lazeh, l'man ishtanu shtei shemos halalu. Why do you pick these two names? Ani Vaho, there are 70 other names. So why do you pick Ani and Vaho? So Tosfos says, because these two names symbolize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Imo Anochi Bitsara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Golis in our with us, and Rashi Tosfos quotes in the last line, "Kaviyachol hu ba'atzmo v'ayinu Hoshana shiyoshia la'atzmo." Right, that we redavid Hoshana save us, but really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Golis, and that's why we say these names specifically. Rav Salvation expands on this a little bit, and that is why are these names alluded to dafke in Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, Tosfos doesn't deal with that. Well, Dafke Kriyas Yamsuf, the Psukim allude to this. So, he quotes, L'famim, Klal Yisrael inam ru'uyim li'yeshua b'zchus atzman, elosh al yidei yeshuasam, misromum u'miskad yishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times we're not zocha for Yeshua ourselves, but because if we're not saved, there'll be a chilul shem shamayim, there'll be less kedushas Hashem in the world, so that's why sometimes we're saved, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, after we did the Meraglim, you know, what does he say? Oh, we're so great. No, we're nothing. But Hashem, what are the nations going to say about you? Right? So sometimes we're not saved for our own zechuyos, but because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYeshua Ba'al Laman Shema, Mechula Bagoyim. So by Kriyas Yamsuf, what does the measure say? The Malachim tied it against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halali of the Avodah Zarah, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. These are also of the Avodah Zarah. Why are you saving them? Still HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. Why? Because, you know, Chas v'Shalom, the nation should say, he took them out of Mitzrayim to let them stay in the Midbar, to wipe them out in the Midbar. So Dafka and Ivaho are used, are alluded to in Kriyas Yamsuf. And Ivaho symbolizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, is in pain now. And that's Dafka the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. Because Kriyas Yamsuf, we weren't redeemed because we so much deserved it, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name had to be Miskad Elubis Romim. So that's why Dafka, those names were used, like Tosfos says, Imo Anochi Mitzara, or Salvation's edition of Dafka Kriyas Yamsuf, is the allusion to those names. Okay. So says, that is Ani Vaho. Good. But also Ayom, continuing the Mishnah, every line of this Mishnah, we have something to say about the Oso Ayom Akifin and Mizbeach Sheva Pa'amim. On that day, on Hoshana Rabbah, they walked around the Mizbeach seven times, as we do at the Zeichel Mikdash. So again, as we mentioned, why seven times that day? So this that Argamar does not talk about. Why seven times? So this is where the Yerushalmi says, a Zecher to Yericho. So why is Yericho? What does Yericho have to do with Hoshana Rabbah? Just the number seven? No, Yericho came first. You're right, but why did Chazal Masakein Azechat Yericho today? So says the Aruch Laner on this Mishnah. Says the Aruch Laner to explain the Yerushalmi. Vizosha also Zechel and Ezeb Bechag Sukkos. And why Dafka Sukkos? What does Sukkos have to do with the Yerushalmi? Yesh Lomar, the Iker of Sukkos we know is Man Simcha Seinu. It's the ultimate Zamcha Simcha Seinu. It says Simcha three times in the Torah by Sukkos. It's the ultimate Zman Simcha Seinu. What is ultimate Simcha? Iker Simcha Sachag, Ula Hodos, Ula Halala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chasadav, and Ifla Osav. the ultimate simcha, reflection of simcha. What do we do when we're happy? We praise Hashem. We praise Hashem for the nisim and the flows that He does for us. That's the ultimate reflection of simcha. That's another reason why we say full Hallel on Sukkot and on a Pesach, because that's full simcha. The Iker Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He al nisim sheba Eretz Yisrael. Says the Aruch Laner, and the ultimate Shevach of Hashem, the ultimate step one is, this is the greatest days of Simcha. Step two, what do you do when you're b'Simcha so much? You praise Hashem. Number three, what's the ultimate praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Nisim, but really the highest level of Nisim is Nisim and Eretz Yisrael. Where do you know that from? What do you know that from? The Gemara in Megillah. Grand Megillah says, why don't you say Hallel on Purim? Three answers. One is Megillah is the Hallel. Number two is they were still Avadim HaVachashverosh. Number three, it was a Nes Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean? Because Nisim that happened in Chutz La'aretz aren't on the same level of Nisim that happened in Eretz Yisrael. The Emek Bracha discusses this. Why is that? Because then in Eretz Yisrael, there's direct Hashkacha, like the Ramban says in Achrimos. The Ramban says that over all the other lands in the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu put in a intermediary, so to speak, to take care of all the other nations, all the other lands of the world. Italy has its intermediary angel, not Chas V'Shalom to daven to, but you know, he take the takes care of the needs, reports back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Italy and Russia and America, every country has Eretz Yisrael, Tamei Eni Hashem Elkecha B'Marishis Hashanah Ach Rishanah, direct Hashgacha. So Nisim and Eretz Yisrael, the Emek Brach explains this Ramban, explaining the Gemara in Megillah, direct Hashgacha, those Nisim are a reflection of direct Hashgacha. And that's why they're on a higher level, and that's the Pshat of the Gemara. So says the Aruch Laner on our Mishnah, Nisim and Eretz Yisrael are on a higher level. What's the first Nes that happened when Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael? Yericho. That was the first Nes. So on this day where this tremendous Simcha, and Simcha is about saying Hallel, and Hallel is about saying Hallel for the Nisim, Nisim of Eretz Yisrael are the greatest, and the first Nes that happened there, obviously crossing the Yarden was a Nes, but they weren't there yet. Right, the Kohanim put their feet in and the Yarden split, that was also a Nes, but they weren't in yet. Once they were in, the first Nes that occurred was the Nes of Yericho, so that is why we are our Mazkir, that Nes today, on Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, let us continue. So that's the Aruch Laner on the Mishnah. B'shas b'tiras ma'hein omrin. At the time that they left, they finished the ceremony. What did they used to say? Ma'hein omrin. Yofi l'cha mizbeach, yofi l'cha mizbeach. Beautiful are you, mizbeach. Beautiful are you. Remember that, right? Because they did so much related to the mizbeach. This was the last day of Sukkot. They did the Nisach HaMayim. They have so many karbanas. So they kind of praised the mizbeach, how yabash kapara, and how beautiful it was. Rabbi Elazar Omer, l'cha v'l'cha mizbeach. L'cha v'l'cha mizbeach. You can't leave out Hashem. So you say, to Hashem and to the mizbeach, beautiful. To Hashem and to the mizbeach, beautiful. Okay, one other ha'ara on the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the Lashon of Peshas Piti Rasan. So this is a very important Lashon in terms of when is the best time, halacha l'maisa, when is the best time to do Hoshanas and davening? Says the Tur in Simon Tov Rei Samach, Tur quotes Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon says, when's the best time to do Hoshanas? Makifin miyad achar kriyas haftorah. That's a third minnah. We don't have that one. Rav Sadia Gaon says, you do it right after laning. Right after laning, you do Hoshanas. Says Rav Sadia Gaon, why? Ba'od shah sefer al hateva, while the Torah is already out. Uminag tofu, says the Tur. The Tur says, I like that minhag. Why? You have to take the Torah out for an extra purpose. Kedei shelo lahotzi hasefer shelo letzorach. Kiven shein korin bo. We mentioned, you'll very rarely take a Torah out, right, for no reason. Kol nidre is another one. Right, so there's a lot of symbolism there. But when else do you take out a Torah shelo letzorach? See, what do you take out of Torah? You take it out of Torah to walk around. Says, if side you go, don't take it out extra. Right after Haftorah, you do Hoshanas. Says the Torah, I like that minhag. But the Torah notes, Ella she'ein noag in Cain. Amazing. The Tur. You would think the Tur could change a minhag. And the Tur said, no, I like this minhag, or if something, but you know what? That is not our minhag. That is what is the Tur's minhag. So so it's not 100%. I think he says in the continuation, he quotes what his minhag is, but the Bach is the one that relates it to our Mishnah. The Bach quotes this Shita Rav Sadia Gaon, and he says, but what do you do with the language of our Mishnah? B'shas p'tirasan. When they left, it sounds like after they went around, they left. B'shas p'tirasan. Right? So what is p'tirasan means haftorah? Right, you have to say p'tirasan means when they left the specific ceremony, but they didn't leave the mizbeach yet. Says the Bach, p'tirasan sounds like they did it after Musaf. That's what he said. And therefore he says, if you really want to have a zecher l'migdash, shoot after Musaf. That's the minhag generally of many Ashkenazic shuls, that they do it after Musaf. based on these two words in the Mishnah, b'shas p'tirasan. That's what the Bach says. But the Aruch Lener quotes other minhagim. Obviously, there are others that do it after Hallel. The Bikur Yaakov in the Aruch Lener, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, quotes that based on the concept of Zrizim Makdim and Lemitzvahs and Ein Ma'avir and Lemitzvahs. Both of those two, you already have Yulav and Esrog in your hand. Why should you put it down? And also, it's a big tircha for every for to put it down and take it out again. That's why Moshe writes in a tshuva, you know, whatever the minhag of the shul is fine. And you know, one, if there is a tzarech, which some shuls have done, if there is a tzarech, you might even be able to change the minhag if there's a real tzarech of zrizim and tircha, and as the shul grows, to do it after Hallel, which many Ashkenazic shuls have changed to that minhag because of this reasons. Okay, but the action of this sugya of when you should do Hoshanas on these two words of the Mishnah, B'shas P'tirasan, what does that mean? I'm saying, but it sounds like B'shas P'tirasan. So when they B'shas P'tirasan means right after they did these circles, right after they did these circles, they're leaving B'shas P'tirasan, and they're saying this. Unless you say that they spent the rest of the day there, and then B'shas P'tirasan. Okay, the question is, how big is there a comma there, or is there a ... there? That's also how you read the Mishnah. Okay, let's continue. K'maseyu b'chol, kach maseyu b'shabes. Just one other. All right, the Vilna Gaon writes in Arachayim in Hilchas Tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchas Tefillin that there's a minhag when you put on your tefillin and when you take off your tefillin, you minhag to kiss the tefillin. So why is there a minhag to kiss your tefillin when you take it off? When you put it on, it's the reason. Well, you put it on, you kiss the tefillin. You know, we discussed, somebody asked me, right, we discussed, even after the bracha, are you allowed to kiss your tefillin shel rosh? Is that a hefsek or not? The post can discuss it, or at least the tefillin shel yad, before you make the bracha. But what about when you take it off? So the Gra on Shulchan Aruch quotes this Mishnah as a marker for chavivus ha-mitzvah when you finish a mitzvah. Because when they left the mizbeach, they all got excited. Shas p'tirasan ma'hein omrin. So the Gra quotes this as the marker for the Shulchan Aruch ha-minag l'nashek ha-tfilin b'shas ha-nachasan v'chalisasan in Simen Chav Ches in Shulchan Aruch. Continues the Mishnah. K'maseya b'chol kach maseya b'shabes. Just like they did on weekdays, this ceremony, so too on Shabbos, with one difference. El shayim malakten osam air of Shabbos. They used to cut the aravis before Shabbos. Umanichen osam begigia shozav. And they used to put it in golden vases. Kedei shaleich moshu. So they don't get withered. Right? Are the aravos that we use as a zecher also are not supposed to be withered out. It's supposed to be nice, moist aravis that we use on Hoshana Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka omer, chariyo shel deko hayim evian. Rabbi Yochanan Mebroka says not only did they have Hoshanas, but they brought bunches of, like, from lulav branches on Hoshana Rabbah, separate ones. They used to bang these lulavs next to the Mizbeach. These other lulavs next to the Mizbeach. How do we know that from? We'll see in the Gemara. V'oso hayom nikra chibut charayos. And that day was called the day of beating the palm trees. We call it chibut arava, because we use aravas. But he used other branches, so for him it was called chibut charayos. Last line, so we'll read it one way and we'll read it the other way. Miyad tinokos, comma, shomten es lovein v'ochlen es rogehen. First way to read the Mishnah, Rashi explains, from the hands of the kids, the gedolim took from the hands of the kids the lulav and esrogs after they were finished, and they used took them. They used to make the went to make the esrog jelly and make the went to use the lulav after they finished. They used to take their lulav and esrogs away and use them for items. Aren't they hooks on the mitzvah the rest of the day? Okay, we'll get to that b'shem later in the Gemara, not today, but the Gemara will discuss it. That's one shot from the tinokos they used to take it. And Rashi says there's no issue of gezel stealing or darkei shalom because they're doing it b'toras simcha. There's no gazel here. They're doing it as an idea of simcha, and therefore there is no problem of stealing. The Rama quotes this in Hilchas Purim, where the Rama writes in Hilchas Purim, sometimes you're mazik somebody in the levity of the Purim Chagiga. So the Rama says, you know, don't worry about it. You know, there's yesh for yesh, but at least there is somewhat more flexibility. The Rama quotes this idea on Purim. Tosfos quotes, fifth line of Tosfos. Tosfos says, what about those jousters in front of the chassan and the kala? They used to put on jousting matches in front of the chassan and the kala. They used to tear each other's clothing with the swords. They're putter from paying for each other's clothing. Why? Because they're doing it b'toch simcha, based on this Rashi. So that is all the first way of reading the Gemara. The Rav in Rishima Shiurim notes that this is all about hezek. You would never say this about chavala. Mazik, which is damaging property, that you would say. Chavala, wounding somebody, a person is never allowed to be mochel on chavala. A person's body is not their own. There are many makaras related to that. Chavala, you can never be mochel on. And chavala can never be allowed, even mitoch simcha. Hezek maybe will allow some things. Obviously, as I mentioned, in a limitation, a person's going to chas v'shalom, you know, get drunk and go smash somebody's car with a baseball bat, you know, he's going to be chayv. You know, that's not what we're talking about. In the, if somebody's totally simcha l'shem shamayim and he's in the chagiga and he happens to, whatever, do something by mistake, there might be a little more flexibility. You got to know how to bring down that ramah halacha l'maisa. But that is all the first way of reading the Mishnah. From the tinokos, they used to take their lulavs and eat their esrogs. Tosfos quotes another pshat, that maybe the comma is in a different place. Miyad, comma, right after using it, so then the tinokos, the kids themselves, used to use their lulavs and esrogs for to play with as toys. So is it miyad tinokos, comma, or miyad, comma, tinokos used to use them? So if you don't have all the this discussion of hezek, according to the second shot, but that is the discussion here. Okay, Gemara, here we go. Tana makom kolonia have, where a place where they got the arrows from was the called Motza. What's Motza? So makom kolonia, Rashi explains, a place that didn't have to pay taxes. You have to pay taxes for this place. It was a makom hefker. For Tani Tana Karle Motza, why does our Tana call it Motza? I the Mefik, me karka the Malka, Karle Motza. Motza means to go out, since it went out from having to pay taxes, so then this place, that's why it is called Motza. And what they do? Uban v'zokonos some see the mizbech. They used to stand up the arava over from the ground over the sides of the mizbech. Tana rabos va'aruchos ugevohos achad asar ama. The aravos that were used had to be 11 amos high. 11 amos high. Why? Kadeshi yehegochos al mizbech ama. Because the mizbech, as the Gemara is about to describe, was altogether 10 amos high. It was really 9 amos plus the chronos, which added another ama. So it's 10 amos high. So if you want the aravos to lean over the top of the mizbeach, so it had to be at least 11 amos high. As we'll see in a minute, it wasn't, these aravos weren't on the chronos. They were next to the chronos, which is, let's say the mizbeach was 9 amos high altogether, but in order to lean over and not be dragging on top of the floor of the mizbeach on top, it had to be at least 11, because you have to put it on an angle, or you can't stand it right up next to it. Right next to the mizbech, then it wouldn't go over. So you have to do it out a little bit. So if it was only 10 amos high, it wouldn't reach over. So that's why it's got to be at least 11 amos high in order to create that arch on top. By the way, sometimes we see in shuls, people have these huge aravas for Hoshanas. So this is where it comes from. Right? This cup, to remember how tall they were in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Amram Reimer Mishamar Zutra. Shma Mina, what do you see from here? Al Yesod Manach Lahu. It must be, says Mareimar, that they stood up the Arava on the Yesod of the Mizbeach. Not on the floor, but the Yesod, which was an Amma up. The Yisaka Daitach Ara Manach Lahu, because if it was on the ground, then still he says it would have been too short. Michti, because let's see, look at the dimensions. Allah Amma Vakanis Amma Zeo Yesod. The bottom level of the Mizbeach was the Yesod, the base, that was one Amma high and one Amma deep. The next, he had another box on top of the Mizbeach, which was 5 amos high, and that was the Sovev. That was the middle part of the top of the Sovev, had the Chuta Sikra, had the line which separated the place where you sprinkle the upper and the lower Dam on the Mizbeach, and that's where the Kohanim used to walk also, in order to sprinkle on top of the Mizbeach. Allah Shalosh Zemachem Kronos. Another 3 up, was the place where the chrono started. So altogether, there's 1, 5, 3. So that's 9. The mizbeach was 9 amos high, plus the chronos added another amma, which was 10. So gochos achama mizbeach eich mishkachasva. So if it was 9 amos high, so then Miramar thinks that if you put it on the ground, you have to lean it out a little bit in order to create a slant, and it's not going to be tall enough. So it must be you put it on the yesod, which gains you an amma. If you put it on the yesod of the mizbeach, and then you lean it, so then it's going to be tall enough to lean over, and also not be dragging on the ninth amma on top of the mizbeach. It has to be leaning over. Gochos means leaning over, but not touching the ground. Elah shmamina, ayesod marach lu shmamina. So that's how you know he says that it was on the yesod. Period. Amar, Rabbi Avo, Micro, what's the source that you know that it was leaning over? Shnei Amar, Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. Pasuk in Hallel, we say, Isru Chag Ba'avosim, encircle the Chag. The Chag here is referring to Rashi explains, referring to the Kronos, Ad Karnos HaMizbeach, the Chag, the Arava that you're going to use, is leaning over next to the Kronos HaMizbeach. Amar Bevo, Amar Abelazar. Now we have a couple of drashas based on that pasuk. Kolanotol lulav ba'agudo, v'hadas ba'avoso. If somebody takes their lulav properly in its eged, and the hadat in its avos, right, that means it's mishulash, covered in its mishulash leaves. Ma'aleh avakasav kilubanim mizbeach v'ikra lov karbon. That's amazing. It's as if you build a mizbeach and brought a karbon. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, isru chag ba'avosim akarnas mizbeach. Right, isru chag, you tie together, and of that isru, that's a remnant of the lulav. Avosim is a remnant of the hadas. Akarnas mizbeach, that brings you the same level of kapara like the karnas mizbeach. What's the message? So the Iyun Yaakov, one of the Mefarshim in the Ein Yaakov says, because the Eged of the Lulav, as the Medrash says, symbolizes all the different types of Jews, with Reach, with Tam, without Reach, all the different types of Jews, and when Jews come together in this Achdus, that brings Kapara for Klal Yisrael. And that's why we have the same Kapara, Ki Ilu Banam Ezech Mekrol of Karban, that brings Kapara having Achdus. I'm Rabbi Yerushim Rav Shem Bayachoy, Rabbi Yochanan Shem Rav Shem Hamachuzi Vishim Rabbi Yochanan Hamachusi, Kol Ha'ose Isur Lachag, Ba'achila Vishasiya, Ma'ale Alav Akasav, Ki Ilu Banam Izbeach Vekrol of Karban. Anybody who makes an Isur to the Chag, we treat it in with eating and drinking, it's as if he built a Mizbeach with Makrav Karban. What is an Isur Lachag? So first shot of Rashi is, if you eat a lot and drink a lot on Yantif. Rashi says, Shekore Lachag Oneg B'Maychel V'Mishta. If you enjoy yourself on Yantif properly, so then that's amazing. What's the language of Isur? So the Marsha here says, Isur means tie down. You're a little held back. You don't go overboard. You know, you're with everything in its proper way. The Marsha says, "Vulule pirusho." He says, "Dira de iser mashmosha oslo iser v'geder b'mitzvus achilu v'shasiya b'chag d'hainush lelechol achila gasa v'shalei shtaker yosem idai she'en l'shem shemayim." That's what iser l'chag, meaning you make certain iserim for yourself, certain gedarim in terms of how you celebrate the yontif. That is number one. But second shot of number two, this is the makar. Rashi's v'yeshomrim. Yom Shela Achar HaChag. There it is. Second day of Rashi. Isru Chag, Isur L'Chag. Meaning you tie up the Yantif. You don't let the Yantif leave. Isur means you tie it up. You bring it with you for one more day. You don't let it leave. Anybody who does that, who celebrates Isru Chag properly, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah explains that, you know, you're supposed to eat a little more and drink a little more. I had leftovers for lunch yesterday. It's a kiyum of Isru Chag. Right? So that shows Ki Lubanim Mizbeach Vikar Olav Karpan. Why is this? So I saw in the Biurei Adaf here, he quotes from the Ein Eliyahu. Ein Eliyahu says, he said, you have a guest. You have a guest at your house, and you're feeding the guest, you're giving it to eat, giving it to drink. How do you know if you really like the guest? How do you know in your behavior if you really want that person to be there, or you're just like doing it because you have to? What happens when the guest leaves? When you see the guest is about getting ready to go, he's like fidgeting a little bit, he's ready to go. So do you say, no, please, please don't leave. No, relax. You just got here. It's okay. Hang out. Stay here. Or do you say, oh, can I get you your coat? You know, can I help you out? You have a bus to catch, you have a train, right? So it depends. What do you do when it's fit? When he's leaving? So it says the Ein Yaakov. So too, we eat and we drink on Yontif, so we don't know if we're really enjoying having the Yontif with us. But if we daf when the Yontif is leaving, no, don't leave. We wouldn't even want you another day. Stay another day. And we're mamshich the celebration of Yontif another day in a little bit. So then that shows, that's the galus of Isru Chag. It shows that we really love the Yontif and we don't want it to leave. Api Kabbalah, there's a big discussion of Isru Chag that the light of the Yontif isn't completed, it doesn't leave totally or fully until after Isru Chag. And that's Isru might be the quotes from the bottom here from the Tiferet Shlomo is Lashon Nisuin, Hasienu is Lashon Nisuin, and we don't want them to leave. And that's the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. Whenever you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you have a mitzvah of Lina. You're never allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash right after you bring a carbon. You have to sleep over. You always have to stretch things out. That is the Isru Chag. Again, that was yesterday's Halacha L'maisa, and today we do the Gemara related. But it's this Rashi of Yom Shel Achar HaChag. Some say that in Eretz Yisrael, that's part of, you know, Yontif Sheni or Isru Chag. We need a couple more days to get back to the grind, right? That Eretz Yisrael, they're a little right, just like the Chassidim Rishonim need Shah Achas Lefnei Atfila and Shah Achas L'Achar Atfila to get back into the world. So then, so too, you know, we need Isru Chag L'Achar Kach in order to sit and internalize a little more and to try to bring the messages of Yontif with us into our lives. Yeah. Right, right. Kids didn't have school. Yeah. Okay. Let us continue. Amar Chizki, Amar Bir Mishum, Mishum, Rav Shem Bayachoy. Kol mitzvahs kulon eina diyosi bohen eide erach edelasan. All mitzvahs, you're not yotze, except derech edelasan. If you use them, and you do the mitzvah with them in the way that they grow. Right? The way that the Gemara is using this is by lulav. You have to shake the lulav in the way that it grows, straight up. If you hold your lulav upside down, you hold your esrog upside down, you're not yotze. That's why we have to do it, in order to make the bracha before we yotze the mitzvah. Shenema, what's the makar? Atze shitim omdim. Right? The mishkan boards were standing up the way they grew, so that is why, that is the makar for having the dalan minim straight up. The tour quotes that some, based on this, also have the defanos, the walls of the sukkah straight up the way it grew. But the Torah says you don't have to be nisar on this, because really the ikar part of the sukkah is, as we mentioned all the way in the beginning of the Masechta, is the schach, that's the ikar part of the sukkah, and therefore that's the only time where this applies to. Interesting, the Meshech Chachma has an unbelievable diuk, where he quotes that by the krushim in Parshas Truma, the lashon of the Torah is asi shitim omdim. But if you look by the aron and by the mizbeach, it says asi shitim. It doesn't say omdim there. It says the Meshech Chachma. It's beautiful because atishim, only the krushim needed atishitim omdim. Why? La mishkan atishitim omdim she nitzlang derek de lasan v'daka bekrushim shayin yifrakin maso zemizeh. Anything that's taken apart and put back together and taken apart put back together, that's where you have this halacha of derek de lasan. But the aron and the mizbeach, which were mechubarin tamid, lo hayu eitzim derek de lasan. Right, the aron, the boards had to be sideways. Right, you put them all together, and but anything that's mechubar, that's a kli, so that you do not need atzei shitim omdim, and that's alluded to in the Torah. The Torah doesn't use the lashon omdim except by the krushim; doesn't use it by the aron and the mizbeach. That's the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Truma. That's the diuk why the Torah doesn't use that word. Tani nami hachi atzei shitim omdim she omdim derek de lasan. As you omdim, that they stood there the way that they grow. Davar acher, another lashon, another pshat of what does omdim mean? Davar acher she ma omdim she ma amidin es sipuyan. They support their tzipui, their covering of gold. But the halacha is that all the boards in the Mishkan had to be gold plated. So Rashi explains you didn't just have a big gold plate and lead it against the krushim. The plates had to be on the krushim. So the krushim supported and held up these gold plates. Number two. Number three. Davar Acher, a third shot of Omdim. Omdim, Shema Tomar, Avat Sivra, Mubata Sikuyam. You might say that we're the krushim today. They're lost. They're somewhere. They're rotten through. Tamar Lomar, Atzei Shitim Omdim, Sha'omdim La'olam U'la'ol Me'olamim. Right? The boards are constantly and always there. They haven't lost. They haven't gotten rotten. Wherever they are, they're hidden somewhere and they're ready to come back. And says the Shemi Shmuel, this is supposed to give us a chizik, that we shouldn't have Yeish, the Gula is not coming. All the Kalim on the base of Migdash are somewhere, wherever they are, hidden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has them, they're ready to go whenever the Migdash either comes down or we build it, depending on the Machlokas Rashi Rambam we discussed a couple days ago. But either way, the Kalim are ready and there. What about the Machon HaMikdash people building the new Kalim? Okay, they have a lot of Makoros that work for them too. Elu ve'elu, we're not going to get into that. They're doing their own Hishtavos. We had a drasha about the Atzei Shitim Omdim a couple years ago. If we have time, we'll repeat it from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Amazing line. We're not going to have too much time to talk about it, but you should know. You should look at the Mefarshim here. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, "I could pater." They say after he came out of the cave all those years and he had all these yisurin. Says Yochel lifters kolam kulo. I could pater the whole world from din miyom shen evresi adata, from the time of creation until today. I could pater the entire world from punishment. The Omali Eliezer bini imi. And if my son with me, Elazar, miyom shenivra olam v'adachshav. Right, we'd have even a greater kapara. The Omali Yosam and Uziyahu imanu. And if Yosam, one of the great kings of Am Yisrael, were with us, miyom shenivra ha'olam v'ad sofo. That from the world history, our zechuyos would all be enough to pater kol olam kulo from punishment. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has a drasha where he discusses. It says imi. Imanu. It emphasizes that they're together, that it's the schus of the rabbim. It's not just a bunch of yechidim together, but it's schus of the rabbim, of people together. That's the schus that he's talking about. When you have people together, so that itself brings more zechuyos. But it's an amazing wine. I've seen people of great spiritual heights, and there are very few. If there is 1,000 of them in the world, me and my son are in that group. If there are only 2 people in the world that are Bnei Aliyah, it's me and my son. What does he mean? Obviously, we know he's not a Balgaiva. You know, we know he came out of the cave and he started burning things up with his eyes. We had the Gemara in Shabbos. But obviously, there's a deeper meaning here, what he means. Is it really true that there are so few Bnei Aliyah in the world? He said, if there are only 2, what do you mean? There are 18,000. Timnei Sirei, 18,000 rows of tzaddikim that stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar Saviv Shemona Asar Aleph. Right, 18,000 tzaddikim. Mokasha, no, there's different levels. Hada Mistakli Vespaklari Yahame'ira. Hada Lo Mistakli Vespaklari Yahame'ira. No, it depends if they're see through the clear, the literally means the clear glass. But it depends how clear of a vision do they have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mefarshim should point out that the Rambam and other sources seem to say that only Moshe Rabbeinu had Aspaklaria Hame'ira. So what do you mean that all these Sadiqim and Aspaklaria have, you know, the others had Aspaklaria Me'ira? Okay, but maybe there are different levels of Aspaklaria Me'ira. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he had, it was on a higher level than anybody else. That's Aspaklaria Hame'ira. Continues the Gemara, Aspaklaria Me'ira, still, those who see through the clear glass, is it so little? This is the marker for the Lama Bavniks. Right? There are at least 36 tzaddikim that are being mekabel pnei Hashchina every day. At least 36. So you see, they're not so few. The Aspaklaria Hame'ira people. Shnemar, what's the allusion? Ashri kol choke lo, Pasuk in Yeshaya, praise are those who wait for him, lo b'gamashriya tlasim v'shizavi. So lo is gamashriya 36. That's a remnant of the 36 lamed vav tzadikim. So lo kash, let's just finish. Hod ha'ayli below bar. Now the difference is whether they could go in without rishus. Could they see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, do they have more of an open door policy? So very few have an open door policy. Even the Lamed Vav, that's what Rav Shubay Chai is referring to. Aniyu B'ni, that's what he's referring to, the open door policy. So there are different levels. The Arachayim HaKadosh, the beginning of Parashat B'chukasai, talks about different, the Gemara seems to have different levels now. People who go in without Rishus, just going whatever they want. People who go in with Rishus, but there is Aspaklaria Me'ira. And then people see with Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira. 3 different levels of Sadiqim or Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. How come they have to be hidden? So what's the answer? So how come they have to be hidden? I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot written on it. But the Lamed Vavniks, why do they have to be hidden? Maybe, I don't know if there must be maybe other makoros about why they're here. It doesn't say anything about being hidden. It just says maybe you can only be a true mekabel pnei Hashchina if it won't go to your head. Right? It's got to be that nobody else knows about it. Okay, period. Pshas. There's more to say on Aspaklaria Me'ira, but we have to move. So back to the Mishnah. So when they left, what did they say? So the Tanakam had said, they said, Yofi lecha mizbeach, beautiful are you the mizbeach. And the second opinion, Rabbi Elazar said, no, it's lecha v'lecha mizbeach, to Hashem and to you. So ask the Gemara on that Shita. How can you put Hashem and the mizbeach in the same sentence? You never allowed to join, partner Hashem and something else. You're saying, Hashem, to you Hashem and to the mizbeach, you know, you're great. Right now, how to do that? V'tanya kol mishtatev shem shemayim v'davar acher nekar min ha'olam. Right, you get uprooted from the world. Shenemar bilti l'Hashem levado. You're not allowed to say anything like that. So hachikamer lei, look, this is what he really means. Hachikamer, this is what the Mishnah really means. Add in a phrase. L'ka anachnu modim v'l'cha anu mishapchen. To Hashem, you we thank, and to you the mizbeach we praise. L'ka anachnu modim, l'ka anachnu mekalsin. So you don't really put them in the same phrase. What's the makar that you're not allowed to put Hashem and something else in the same pasuk? That's the machlokas we shown him. The Rambam says it's an isra say from ubishmo tishaveya. In Asay Zayin. In his name, you should swear. You shouldn't put anything else in. Nothing else should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Yireim quotes, it's based on Lo Yielacha Lohim Acherim. It's on the Pasuk in the by Avodah Zarah in the Aseret HaDibros. L'mai Nafkamina, that might be a big Nafkamina. What about non-Jews? Non-Jews, is it an Isra of Avodah Zarah? They're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. That's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs. But there's no, if Yishmo Tishaveya is a separate Mitzvah Asay. So some point out that maybe the Nafkamina to the Rambam and the Yireim is whether non-Jews are subject to this Isra of being Meshatev, Shem Shemayim, Vidavar Acher. That is a big. There's a big discussion in the postgame. What about shittuf in general? What happens if a non-Jew believes in Hashem and something else, which is very halacha lemaisa in some religions? Is that avodah zara or not? Shittuf for Jews, it is definitely asumi daraisa. But for non-Jews, that's a big discussion in the postgame whether shittuf is a problem or not. Kamaseu b'chol. One more minute. Just like they do on weekday, they do it on Shabbos, except they cut the branches from before Shabbos. Amar Rav Huna my time with Rabbi Yochanan Barbroka. Why was Rabbi Yochanan Barbroka say what he says? What did he say? He had the mission, he said, you use lulavs instead of aravas. You bang the lulavs. So two shatim. Number one, dechsiv kapos, shnayim. It says kapos tomorrow, which is plural. Achas lulav, achas l'mizbeach. One is a reference for kapos tomorrow, the lulav. So one is for your mitzvah of lulav, one is for banging in front of the mizbeach. For Rabbanan Amri, no, kapas ksiv. Tiyesh Eim L'Misaurus is written kapas, therefore don't make a drasha. For Rabbi Levi Omar, a different shah, kitamar. Why do you bang one? It's like a tamar, like a palm tree. And Bnei Yisrael compared to them. Matamar ze Eim Lo Elalev Echad, Af Yisrael, Eim Lohem Elalev Echad, Lavim Shemashemayim. Just like a palm branch only has one heart, what does that mean? Rashi explains the sap is only in the trunk of the tree. And it's nowhere else, it's not in the branches, it's not in the leaves, it's nowhere else. So too, Bnei Yisrael only have one heart, and that's why we want to use the lulav specifically, again, here, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we only have Lev Echad, La'avinu Shebashamayim. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow is a very important daf, all about Birchas HaMitzvah. Making a bracha on a sukkah, making a bracha on a lulav, making a bracha on Chanukah. A lot of mitzvahs are going to come up tomorrow. And also, we're going to talk about kinyanim for a katan, membav mebeis. A lot of important discuss. Mupsa, miku diskasoy. And every daf here is just chock full full of kinyanim. Basically, all of Seder Moed we'll have next couple of months. Today's shiur was L'Refuah Shalema, Daniel Dov Ben Rashka, sponsored by the Ginsburg family.